I'm going to start by just talking about a little bit of background on the HIB shortage, and then we'll get into how we integrated Pentacell in Washington State. Everyone's aware of, first, the recall of the Merck vaccine, HIB-containing vaccines, and the shortage that was declared in December of 2007. Right on the heels of that, of course, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention started their planning efforts. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices issued their recommendation to defer the booster dose of HIB-containing vaccine, and we started our communication rapidly behind that, as most of you in the room did as well. Part of our process was to develop tools to support our own staff, our local health departments, and providers in managing the HIB shortage. And one of the key tools that we developed was an allocation strategy. These were all elements that had to come together in order for us to manage the HIB shortage. Of course, the cornerstone of our effort was communication. Our foundation in Washington State is built on public health, and our local public health departments, as well as the public health associations in our state, our provider community, both family practice physicians, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. We also had to communicate directly with our child care because of the deferral of the booster dose, our school entry requirement changed. So that added another layer to our the complexities of managing the HIB shortage. Our support tools, we have quite the toolbox in Washington State, and we've had the fortune or misfortune to use a number of them over time. So we have some experience, and that's always a good thing. We have guidelines for the use of state-supplied vaccine in Washington, and we updated those to include the deferral of the fourth dose. We calculated an allocation strategy using the formula on slide 12 of Dr. Jacobson's presentation, and we closely monitored vaccine ordering and our allocation throughout the HIB shortage. One of our primary tools was to use both virtual transfer of vaccines before vaccine left the McKesson Depot, as well as physical transfer of vaccine, ensuring that the cold chain was maintained between provider offices and through local health departments, so we could get the vaccine where it was needed. Our allocation strategy, in Washington, we typically use a population-based allocation strategy, and because of the strength of our public health network, we base that on the birth cohort in each of the counties or local health jurisdictions in our state. This is a local health jurisdiction, which is two counties in our state highlighted in orange. In addition to that, our staff have developed a monitoring and tracking tool. It is a spreadsheet. Basically, what it does is allow every provider's order to be tracked against the overall allocation for that geographic area. As orders are entered into this spreadsheet, it subtracts from the allocation. We actually have double proofing, if you will, of this. Our local health departments enter these doses and they track against their allocation. And then at the state level, every order that comes into the state is run through this algorithm by my staff to make sure that we stay within our allocation. And we were able to do that throughout the HIB shortage. Well, as we went along through the process, actually fairly early on, we began to have some concern that children were not getting fully immunized, that providers did not have enough vaccine, even for the three doses of the primary series. Some children were missing doses. There's always a concern of disease and a lack of herd immunity when you are not completing the doses that are necessary for the series. Parents were having to make extra visits to get children vaccinated, even for the three-dose series. Providers were really stressed, and some of them were actually seeing red because they had a lot of extra work that they had to do to, first of all, talk with parents about why is there a shortage? If the vaccine is so important, how can you tell me now that my child doesn't need four doses? We actually used the Active product, so we had a four-dose series. And also working with parents to let them know that they would call their child back. They had a wait list for developing. Unfortunately for us, in some cases, we were not made aware of those wait lists as early as we would have liked. In some practices, I was actually in a provider's office, and they had a sticky note on the refrigerator that said HIB vaccine for 2 and 4 months of age only because their supply was so short. We obviously wanted to take this concern to the CDC because we wanted to have some help resolving it. And we were not the only state or project in the country that was dealing with these same issues. Most of you were as well. So we went to our data to see what it would tell us. Our allocation was running about 20,000 doses a month for Actib at that time. Yeah, there was no Pentacell at that time. So what our order history showed us is that, as is typical for most vaccines, there was actually some variation in the amount of HIB vaccine that was needed in any given month. And you can see our allocation about 20,000 doses, but some of those months we were having almost 25,000 dose need. We also then looked at just a straightforward birth cohort calculation, and these are both for three doses in the series. So just to do a rough calculation for three doses based on our birth cohort, we would come out right at about, 19,500 doses, very close to 20,000 doses. But when you consider not only the peak months that we might have been having, but also the fact that some children may have been migrating into the state that needed vaccination, and other children may not have been in that birth cohort. They were children that were short a dose of the three-dose series but needed to have that dose, we basically felt that there was not enough supply to meet that need. And of course, our anecdotal information from providers and from our local health department supported that. We took that information to the CDC, and unfortunately, there was no vaccine to be had. They didn't have any additional doses to give us at that time. We wanted to have some guidance. In the past, ACIP had actually given guidance about prioritization during shortages. We saw that in 2005, 2006 during the flu shortage. Neither one of those happened at this time. And based on that birth cohort analysis, there appeared to be enough vaccine. Well, we continued to try to listen and respond to our providers and our local health departments about their needs. We really moved into, high gear with our transferring and reallocation of vaccine. And fortunately, what happened, we started to get more information about where the need was. And because of our tracking tool, we could actually see where vaccine might be available that could be reallocated from one geographic area to another. So that was very helpful. We sought guidance from our own vaccine advisory committee, and really we're looking more into, is there advice that our Washington chapter of the Academy of Pediatrics could provide to their colleagues about prioritization. Ultimately, what happened was they ended up emphasizing connecting with local health departments and the state health department to identify the need so that we could begin to work on those problems. Just when we were about to give up, Pentacell became available. We had a very quick turnaround time to, first of all, decide about implementing the vaccine, and then to gear ourselves, our local health departments, and our providers up to receive it and mobilize very quickly. We had about 5 days, in fact, from the time that we got our first allocation until we had to implement the next month's ordering. Communication, again, we engaged our same partners in communication because the strategy that we chose was to target a specific group of providers. We had two messages. One was the general message, yes, Pentacell is coming to Washington State. Our intent is to use it to try to help mitigate the HIB shortage, and that's the intent of the CDC. But initially, not every provider was going to receive that. We selected providers, and I'll talk in a minute about how we did that, but we sent them direct mail from the state saying, you have been selected. It's kind of like a draft notice, you've been selected. We spent a lot of time on the telephone, both conference calls with our local health departments and answering individual local health and provider questions about this vaccine and about what we were trying to do. We were able to participate with the CDC and several other grantees in the development of their guidance about using Pediarix and Pentacell during the shortage, including development of some integration schedules. I mentioned the Washington State guidelines for the use of state-supplied vaccine, and in this case, we actually had specific guidelines for the use of Pentacell vaccine. One of our major concerns was inventory management, and so we devoted a whole page to managing inventory and ordering for each of the vaccines that were part of the Pentacell combination, Pediarix, Actib, Hepatitis B, et cetera, so that providers would have some information to support getting on board with this vaccine. We did develop integration schedules and provided this information to local health and to our providers as well. This is just a copy of that general letter I talked about. And then, of course, for all of you in the room that are familiar with the Vaccines for Children program, you have your accountability that has to be updated. Our doses administered and our inventory management spreadsheets had to be updated as well. And again, I just can't emphasize enough that how rapidly this had to be deployed. It's very quick. And the reason that we looked at a targeting strategy was to make sure that we could get the message and focus that message. So our population-based allocation strategy times two vaccines this time, very similar to the other side, only now Actib and Pentacell. The same effort, now we were monitoring Pentacell as well as Actib by provider for every provider and every order in the state. And initially what we actually did was to make a decision about what proportion of Pentacell to single component Actib they would get, so that we were able to control that based on our allocation in the beginning of the process. One of the things that we wanted to do is, again, we would really support our ability to do in-depth, focused communication with providers, training with providers. So we looked at our high volume providers. We wanted to start with a limited number if that was possible, so it was natural to look at those high volume pediatric practices. A couple of things that we considered. If an organization had multiple sites, they were either all in or all out, even if some of their sites were smaller, because we did not want to have an organization that had multiple sites have to deal with a different product mix in each of their sites. We also looked at organizations that had clinics in multiple jurisdictions, so crossing county borders. We tried to keep those out of the mix just because the complexities that would create for both monitoring the allocation but also the communication process. We reviewed their PediaRx inventory mostly so that we'd have a very good handle on how much PediaRx was out there, but also so that we could begin to monitor that as one of our outcome concerns. So this map just shows our beginning provider participation, and any of you that are familiar with Washington State know that the I-5 corridor runs about like that, and our most densely populated area in western Washington, but then also on the east side of the state, Spokane is one of our other larger communities. We had 9 counties or 9 local health jurisdictions involved in the first rollout and 45 providers. And at that time, our Pentacell to Actib proportion was about 25% Pentacell, 75% Actib. That rapidly changed, however, in the following months. And this graph just shows that change. The green line is our overall Hib-containing vaccine in each of the months from May of 2008 to February of 2009. And you can see that our proportion of Pentacell gradually increased as the Actib gradually decreased. And we were running at about 20,000 doses of Hib-containing vaccine still in the early, as with the early rollout of Pentacell. In November, the CDC allowed us to order additional doses of vaccine, and you can see by the spike on this graph that providers really began to look at their wait list, and they began to try to get vaccine into their offices so they could administer all 3 doses of the primary series. We also saw relevant to that was our need to engage more providers in the receipt of Pentacell. In November, we were up to over 300 providers, and by February of this year, we surpassed the 400 provider mark. And this is a map of our current provider participation with Pentacell. You can see almost every local health jurisdiction or county in the state has one or more providers. Pretty significant increase in providers in those larger counties that were the early adapters, and only a few counties that are not participating. And when we went to our second round of provider participants, what we said was, if you are in a county, we have a lot of rural areas in Washington, and your county is receiving less than 100 doses of Hib-containing vaccine in a month, that's your allocation, you can be exempt. If you have a provider that wants to choose Pentacell, we will work with you to do that. But what we did not want to do is to force small provider practices with no experience with combination vaccines, who are giving limited numbers of doses of vaccine, to to start using Pentacell. So we continue to allow them to have that choice. Well, our rollout was not without problems. We did have parents that continued to want only the single antigen HIB product. As all of you know, in first Minnesota and then Philadelphia, we became painfully aware of the emergence of invasive HIB disease and including some children dying from that disease and concerns about potential impacts of herd immunity, greater disease circulation because of missed doses. It was a new vaccine, and any of you that have worked with parents or in communities know that anytime there's a new vaccine, there's some skepticism on the part of parents, there's some reluctance on the part of physicians. Providers still had a few problems. The inventory management thing was an issue. They had to start ordering hepatitis B vaccine in a volume that would meet the need for single component HIP or hepatitis B vaccine in light of integrating Pentacell. There were the multiple lot numbers on the box, and we actually had quite a controversy about even the MMWR came out first saying record both and then coming out saying record one of the lot numbers, but that was an issue for providers. We had some providers because they were not familiar with the vaccine that they reconstituted the HIB component of Pentacell with the HIB diluent. We had a few cases where the provider gave the DTaP IPV component and not the HIB component, and those things happen when new products are introduced, and we addressed those as they came along, as well as, another concern was just that, do I really have to give a child who only needs the HIB component the combination vaccine? And all of us know that the CDC's position on that was, yes, if a child needs HIB vaccine and all you have available is a combination vaccine, you need to give that vaccine to the child. This is just a graph that shows a little bit of our supply issues, and you can see again that blue line is the Pentacell. We saw a significant decline in the demand for Pediarix because, as Dr. Jacobson pointed out before, typically providers will use one or the other of these vaccines as the backbone of their system, and in this case they had to have the Pentacell to meet the active need. And you can also see this increase in the hepatitis B vaccine need. Well, we've been reviewing our Pediarix inventory, and for the most part, we feel like we've done pretty well. We had providers that were pretty attentive to how much Pediarix they continued to order after they started getting Pentacell. Our local health departments were very watchful of those orders, coaching providers about not continuing to order as much Pediarix as they had in the past if they were getting Pentacell. So we have a few that are kind of the outliers. And what we've done is to basically issue a statement about if you have excess Pediarix, think about transferring that vaccine within your clinic organization or from clinic to clinic so that we can get that inventory down, because although the vaccine is fairly long dated, we don't want to risk losing any of that vaccine because it expires. The other option was to have that vaccine that was in those clinics used to fill new orders for providers. And the third thing that we did was to open up and emphasize the use of the Pediarix for children who needed catch-up for DTaP, IPV, and hepatitis B vaccine prior to kindergarten. And this time of year, for most of you, you know this is kindergarten roundup time. And so a lot of kids up to the age 7, that's the licensure for this vaccine for the primary series, could take advantage of the Pediarix for that purpose. We've had some challenges. I think I heard a speaker earlier today mention the challenges with hepatitis B back orders and that situation. We really don't know what the future of this supply issue is. One of the things that is very important, and I think an advantage of our transition to third-party distribution, is that we've actually been able to get vaccine from the pediatric stockpile on two occasions, once late in February and then just recently, to help cover the need for hepatitis B vaccine. So we've had delays. This week, while I was at the conference, my staff back home said all of our hepatitis B backorders had shipped this week, so I was very happy and relieved to hear that. We're hoping to hear more information about these supply issues, but it is a concern because there's a higher demand with as much Pentacell circulating as is out there. So how are we doing as far as disease occurrence in Washington State? We're actually fortunate that we're doing fairly well. So far we have not had any additional cases of invasive Haemophilus influenza B vaccine or disease in the state. We continue to monitor though that just as everyone else is. And how are we doing with getting kids vaccinated? We wanted to try to address that question that was brought up about was there really enough vaccine and were providers behaving appropriately with administering only the primary series and not four doses in the series. We're fortunate to have a pretty robustly populated registry in Washington, and so we looked at that data. And this graph shows children in the registry who received the first dose, very high, 96%, that's very good, very equivalent to the first dose of PCV7. Of those children who received one dose, how many received both one and two? And you can see that drop, so kids that should have received the second dose not having received it, although it's similar to PCV7. And then by the time we get to the third dose, seeing a pretty precipitous drop in the number of kids that had that third dose. So I think our concern was legitimate, and it was, although this is not representing 100% of the kids in Washington State, it certainly is a reference for us to understand what's happening in the provider community and how well kids are being vaccinated. The other thing that we looked at was that fourth dose of Hib. I chose this graph because one of the things that helps, that the registry helps us to do, is to see if there is a way that we can target an intervention strategy by a geographic area if there's an issue or concern. We have, generally speaking, about 3% American Indian population in Washington State, so we would expect to see at least 3% of the children getting the fourth dose because high-risk kids could still get the fourth dose. Additional children, of course, for high-risk medical conditions. I don't have a percentage on that, but we knew some of that would be encompassed in this fourth dose column. And again, that was based on the registry data. So how are we doing overall with this implementation process? I think, and my colleagues, and I think our folks from public health and provider community would agree that we've had a pretty successful integration of Pentacell in a very short period of time, and things seem to have smoothed out quite nicely with that. Because of our management practices, we've never been over allocation for our Hib, our in any Hib containing product, not our Active or our Pentacell. We've also been able to balance our inventory, what we calculate as our ending inventory or available inventory, with the reports from the CDC data warehouse. There was one occasion we were not able to do that. It was a canceled order that wasn't tracked correctly in the CDC system at the data warehouse. But overall, we've done very well with that. I'd say looking at those slides and the efforts that have preceded that, we're within reason of ACIP, although we do have concern about not all children getting that third dose. During the times when the CDC allowed us to order additional vaccine, we were successfully able to secure that vaccine and try to fill those gaps for providers. And I think throughout this process, we've been very responsive to our local health departments and our providers to help ensure that vaccine got to where it was needed and children had the opportunity to be vaccinated and protected from this vaccine-preventable disease. So I feel like we've been able to bring those elements together to be successful in this effort. I'll leave you with this word: blessed are the balanced, for they shall outlast us all. Some days I'm pretty balanced, and other days I'm not quite so balanced. But I wouldn't be able to do any of this work without my staff who support me every day: Mike Benn, Wendy Bowman, Chris Halsell, and Flo Zekas. Our public health advisor from the CDC, Lynn Watson. My boss, Jana Barty. Our whole crew at the immunization program, Child Profile. Our Child Profile immunization registry staff. Local health departments throughout the state of Washington. McKesson, who's been a great partner in getting vaccine where it needed to go, turning around our orders, being very attentive to our customer service requests about vaccine orders, etc. And the CDC. I feel like the CDC has really been making sure that we were aware of opportunities when additional vaccine was available. And together, we were able to make this a successful effort for Washington State. Thank you.